So, I will say again, Happy Ocean Sunday. And I will start off this morning with a confession to you all, that even though it is Ocean Sunday, I have to confess that I have a sort of love-fear relationship with the ocean. I grew up watching Jacques Cousteau. Anybody else remember Jacques and his son Philippe? Sorry. I also, as I said earlier, I loved going down the shore in Jersey. Great place to hang out. I love those waves. But the other side of it is I am quite well aware that the ocean is the place where hurricanes like Dorian get started. It's the source of tsunamis and riptides. It is home to killer sharks and giant white whales and icebergs. You can guess that I grew up watching movies like Moby Dick, The Poseidon Adventure, and of course, Titanic. The forces and the dangers of the oceans and their unfathomable depths of mysteries, however, were not an invention of those romantic novelists or 20th century filmmakers. They actually were embodied for us in a great biblical creature called Leviathan. If you read the 41st chapter of Job, which I'm sure you'll all run home and go and do right now, you will, well, not right now, but you will hear all about Leviathan. And for centuries, Leviathan was the creature that symbolized everything that was untamable about the ocean. It was the ultimate, so that ultimately the ocean came to symbolize chaos and death. The ocean was the enemy of God. The ocean was dark, brooding water that needed to be tamed and limited so that all the good and safe parts of creation could come forth. This is the myth that permeates all those novels like Moby Dick and all those movies like even Jaws. And it's the fear part of my relationship with the ocean. Well, throughout a couple of millennia, and thanks to a couple of good Disney movies, the oceans and the seas are not quite as threatening to us all as they once were, at least not entirely. The theory of evolution says that all of life came out of the ocean, in fact, that the ocean is the origin and the source of life, not the end. Today, we know that the oceans account for 97% of our planet's waters and 95% of the Earth's biosphere. So our human inhabitable spaces on this planet are a mere drop in the ocean. The oceans support our living spaces by absorbing roughly one-third of the carbon dioxide emitted by all of our human activity. And if you have any doubt about just how interconnected our human existence is with that of the ocean, think saline drip. Salt water, seawater. In the early 1900s, a French physician discovered that the composition of seawater and human plasma were identical. The only difference was the higher concentration of salt in seawater. So guess what? During World War I, when blood was in short supply, soldiers were sometimes transfused with diluted seawater. And they lived. Salt water, a saline drip, is still used, am I correct, physicians in the congregation, right? A saline drip is still used today to increase our blood volume. So you might say that the ocean is our life's blood. So given these life-giving properties of the sea, it's no wonder that Jesus teaches his first disciples about the realm of God by the sea. In fact, a great deal of Jesus' teachings happen by the seaside, and even more than that, all kinds of parts of creation are frequently a teaching partner of Jesus. That's because in the wisdom tradition of the Hebrew Scriptures, Sophia, which is Greek for wisdom, Sophia was present with God from the very dawn of creation. She served as God's agent in creation. She was a master worker beside Yahweh. So that wisdom pervades all of creation, ordering it and guiding its function. In the gospel lesson then, Lake Gennesaret, which is called the Sea of Galilee by Matthew and Mark, is more than just a background to the story. And it's more than just a convenient plot device for this story. The sea is like a TA, a teaching assistant for Jesus, offering its wisdom alongside his. So when Jesus tells Simon Peter to drop his nets in the deep water, despite his objections, despite the fact that Simon knows the sea like the back of his hand, when the sea teaches him that God's abundance will still surprise you, Peter is silenced. He is silenced by the depths of God's mysteries that exceed everything he thought he already knew. So I find myself wondering this morning that if Peter were to let down his nets in the ocean today, what would he catch? His objections just might prove correct. Jesus, we've worked these waters for centuries. There is little left. According to the NOAA website, that's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, according to their website, there are roughly 165 marine species listed as endangered or threatened. That doesn't count the freshwater species that are endangered or threatened, or the land species that are endangered or threatened. 165 marine species endangered or threatened. This includes mammals, like a whole variety of dolphins, a whole variety of whales and seals. This includes reptiles and fish, like a whole variety of sea turtles and a whole variety of salmon. And of course, coral. Coral are endangered. Biologists estimate that roughly half of the coral on the barrier reef off the coast of Australia, which, by the way, can be seen from outer space, That is how huge it is. Biologists estimate that roughly half of the coral is dead or dying as a result of bleaching due to climate change. Globally, the estimate is 27%. And while the oceans so generously absorb for us all our excess carbon dioxide from our cars and our airplanes and our boats and our snowmobiles and all that other stuff, they are reaching their limits. And the sea waters are becoming increasingly acidic, making them hostile to the ecology of life that they have sustained for eons. The arrogance of our human footprint is so pervasive that in May of just this year, when explorer Victor Vescovo became the first person to descend to the deepest part of the ocean. That's a depth of 35,853 feet. When he became the first person to get that deep, he made a startling discovery. Hovering down there in his submersible, at the deepest point in our planet, in addition to all the new and amazing creatures that he saw, anyone want to take a stab at what else he saw down there? A plastic bag and candy wrappers. We humans have overfished, overcruised, overjet skied and powerboated, and overdumped in our oceans. Sadly, we are more prone to encounter all of creation, in this case for today, the oceans. We are more prone to encounter the oceans for the ways that it is useful for us. As a resource for food, for recreation, for vacationing, for beachside relaxation, than to encounter it as a life-giving teaching partner of our Creator. And don't get me wrong, folks. Like I said, I love to go to the beach. Do we recognize its fragility? Or do we only use it? These days, Peter's nets would come up light on fish and heavy on trash. Obviously, even in the deepest of waters. And as long as we remain in a utilitarian relationship with the ocean, we will miss the point of the scripture readings we heard this morning. We will miss the point of the Word of God spoken in our midst today. That despite all we think we may know about how the world works or how it should work, that was Job's problem. And despite all we think we understand about the sea, that's Peter's problem. There still remains an unfathomable depth of wisdom in creation that we cannot grasp because we aren't capable of grasping it, and more to the point, we aren't entitled to grasp it. Do you know, God says to Job? Do you have understanding? Do you get it? Do you comprehend? Let the deep water surprise you, Jesus insists. The point here is not that Job deserves an explanation for why he's been suffering. The point here is that God delights in the mysteries of creation, and we are simply a part of that mystery. We are not the center of the mystery. We are not the source of the mystery, and we are not the detectives created to solve the mysteries. And the sooner we realize this, the sooner we will honor the holy mystery that God intends in creation and with which God calls us to be in relationship. The ocean is, after all, our life's blood. So please, on this Ocean Sunday, let us heed God's challenging words to Job. Who was it who took charge of the ocean when it burst forth like a baby from the womb? Was it you? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? May we honor the holy mysteries of the deep and learn from them and not exhaust its gifts.